John 19, verse 28. John 19, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And that's where that's recorded in the Gospels. Now, Jesus had refused a drink, and Matthew 27 records that it was vinegar mixed with gall. Matthew 27, 34, it says, they gave him vinegar to drink mixed with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Then in verse 48, it says, straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But he refused the gall. They used to mix vinegar with gall, which is very, very bitter, to make people suffer longer on the cross. Jesus, by this time, has a fever. He's fighting for his breath. He's dying. And this is the shortest saying of the seven sayings. This is one word in the Greek. Dipso, I thirst. And so I want to point out nine things here out of this verse, I thirst. First of all, this is an evidence that Jesus really was a human being. He said it publicly to show he was human. He wasn't a divine man or a humanized God. He was the God-man. Now, beginning in the first century, for the first 300 years of Christianity, there was a religion called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, the early church fathers write many things condemning the Gnostics. The Gnostics taught that there was a God who was pure spirit and spirit was good, but matter was evil. And so spirit was good, soul was good, a body was evil. In fact, Plotinus, one of the great Greek philosophers, he was Egyptian that taught in Athens, taught that spirit was good, but body was evil. And he would not take a bath. He would starve his body. He wouldn't celebrate his birthday because he said, why should I celebrate when my good, beautiful, nice spirit had to come live in this evil physical body? So he wouldn't take a bath, and he had sores all over his body, and he smelled, and he liked to hug his students. So enrollment was down at the school of Plotinus. But this is what they taught, Gnostics. They taught there was a secret knowledge and you wouldn't know it unless you were initiated into it. So they taught that Jesus was a spirit. You have spook Jesus, ghost Jesus. Jesus was just a spirit. He did not have a physical body. Now we know that Jesus, in front of the disciples, they thought maybe he was a ghost. So he ate a piece of fish and a piece of honeycomb. They didn't see it floating all around in there, because he had a real physical body. That's why 1 John was written, one of the epistles against Gnosticism. Whosoever confesseth that Jesus has not come in the flesh, he is an antichrist, because this teaching was going around. The Bible says he was God, but that he became man. Philippians 2 says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on the form of man, and suffered as a servant, even suffering the penalty of death. Colossians 2:9 says, in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you look at the experiences of Jesus, Jesus got tired. John 4, the woman at the well. They get to the well at Sychar. He sends his disciples into town to buy food, and he's sitting next to the well because he's tired. The Bible says he was weary. Matthew 4:2. He went out of the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, which is why the devil could tempt him. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He was on a ship, Mark chapter 4, and he was asleep. And they came to him and said, Master, why are you asleep? Well, he was asleep because he was tired. And he gets up and he calms the ocean. The Bible says in Mark 6:6 that he marveled because of their unbelief, another human characteristic. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, what does it say? Jesus wept. Okay, now everybody say that with me. Say, Jesus wept. Are you ready? Jesus wept. Okay, now you memorized a verse in the Bible today. All right. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, he went into a solitary place to pray. He had to get away and pray. because of the human side. It said he rejoiced in his spirit, Luke 10:21, Luke 11:33, he groaned at the tomb of Lazarus. These are all human traits. Jesus said, I thirst, because he was human. He appeared unto doubting Thomas, and when he appeared unto Thomas, Thomas fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. He confessed that Jesus was man and God at the same time. Number one, it's evidence of Jesus' humanity. Number two, it shows us that he understands us. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2, 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like unto human beings, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. Now, why? For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, the next page in the Bible. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands us. He understands our pain, our rejection, our physical needs, our mental needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs. I've told you before, my father was one of the great bass fishermen in the state of Florida. He never came home without fish. In fact, one of his fishing buddies for 10 or 15 years was Lewis Dinkins, the man who invented the rattle lure, the lure with the BB inside, okay? And he and Mr. Dinkins would hear of a phosphate pit here or hear of a lake there, and they might drive 5 or 6 hours to put the boat in and fish. Always with topwater plugs, only for bass. The sport was to throw it out, play the plug, get the fish to come up and hit it, and then play the fish. Okay? He was very good at it. And he always said when he took us fishing, okay, remember, you got to think like a fish. At this time of the year, where would the fish be? What would they be feeding on? Now, there's a certain time of the year when he'd use a red and yellow devil's horse to fish with. There were some times he would use a spoon, okay? Different times of the year, he grew up on the St. John's River. He knew what the fish fed on at different times of the river, okay? You have to think like a fish. Wow. There are ancient stories of kings that wanted to know what their subjects were thinking, what the common people were thinking in the villages. So they would dress up like a poor person and travel among their people and just listen to them talking to find out what they were thinking and learn what they were doing. That's what Jesus did. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that he could identify with us and understand what we were going through. He experienced what we experienced. Number one, it's evidence of Jesus' humanity. Number two, it's evidence that Jesus understands us, where we are and what we're going through. Number three, it shows us the intensity of his sufferings. There's a prophecy in the book of Lamentations, and it was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. God's wrath poured out, Lamentations 1, 12 and 13. It is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet, he hath turned me back, he hath made me desolate and faint all day long. Prophecy of Jesus on the cross. Proverbs 17:22, a broken spirit, who can bear? He was suffering, and it was to our benefit. Anguish, turmoil, suffering, misery, agony, whatever word you want to use, it was intense. Number four, it points out Jesus' selflessness. Do you know this is the only time he ever asked for anything for himself? Every time he asked for something, you did it for somebody else. Every time he did something, you did it for somebody else. Jesus was selfless. David Hume, the great Scottish philosopher, said the basic drive of people is to be selfish. People always do what's good for them. Egoism is, if it's good if it's good for me. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus did good for others. The devil offered for him to turn stones into bread. He turned it down. The devil offered to give him all the kingdoms of the world. He would worship the devil. He turned it down. Jesus was always doing things for others. Arno Gabelein has a poem in his commentary that says, I live to die, I die to live. The more I die, the more I live. The more I live, the more I die. The idea of being dead to self and alive to God. There's a Moorish castle in Spain. The Prophet Muhammad died in 622 AD. They conquered Spain by 700 AD, and they ruled Spain for 700 years until Spain was reconquered for the Christians in 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay. But there's a Moorish castle in Spain, and the ruler there was so into himself, he didn't have works of art. He didn't have beautiful paintings on the wall. He had mirrors, so everywhere he looked, he could look at himself. That reminds me of some of our people today, you know, some of our leaders. You know, there are people that are legends in their own minds. There are people that you wish you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Yeah, that's not Jesus. Jesus was selfless. John the Baptist was approached. You know, the early disciples of Jesus had been disciples of John. Peter and Andrew, James and John. Some disciples came to John the Baptist and said, Jesus is getting your disciples. And what did John say? Very significant verse in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. More and more of God, less and less of us. That's the example of Jesus on the cross. It's a picture of human nature. You know, they could have given him water. They could have given him wine. What do they give him? Vinegar. How many of you drink apple cider vinegar? I couldn't handle that. I take the tablets now, okay? But it smooths out my blood sugar at night. They gave him vinegar. It makes you thirstier. How perverse are people? The guy's dying on the cross. What can we do to make it worse? Give him vinegar. That's human nature. John 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10, there is none that understandeth, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none good, no, not one. What they offered Jesus really shows us the attitude of the world, the condition of the human heart. Number 6, Jesus' reverence for Scripture. You notice it says here, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. What Scripture? Psalm 69, verse 21. Psalm 69, verse 21. A prophecy in the book of Psalms. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst gave me vinegar to drink. David wrote that 1,000 years earlier. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now, are we as concerned about the Bible as Jesus was? Jesus wanted to make sure all the Scriptures were fulfilled. What does the Bible say about us? Psalm 30 and 31. Psalm 119:30, I have chosen the way of truth, thy judgment have I laid before me. I have stuck unto my testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Psalm 119:59. Of course, there's 176 verses in this psalm. I thought on my ways and turned my feet toward thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Or the one we memorized in Sunday school. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. John 14:23, that it might be that the scriptures would be fulfilled. John 14:23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father shall love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus had a reverence for scriptures, and we need to match that with our commitment to the Bible as the Word of God. And lastly, everybody gets thirsty. What a great song today. I thirst. Thirsting is a motif throughout the whole Bible for the longing of the soul for God. Everybody gets thirsty. Now, you can live a long time without food, okay? But you don't live but a few days without water if you're thirsty. Isaiah 55:1, come everyone to the water, he that is thirsty, buy who hath no money. He that is thirsty, come to the waters. Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. Matthew 5:6, the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and went to hell, it says in Luke chapter 16. He sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he asks, Father Abraham, I am tormented in the flame. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water, for I am tormented in the flame. Boy, in hell it gets really thirsty. The absence of God, then the absence of the presence of God in hell. Someone asked Billy Graham one time, do you believe there's literal fire in hell? And he said, I don't know if it's real or not. If it's not real, it's something a lot worse. You know? But they are thirsting in hell. And what's interesting with all of that is the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 16. What's the promise for us in heaven? Revelation 7:16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more thirsting in heaven. We sing an old hymn, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Now, what do we need to be thirsting for? Jesus thirsted so he could quench our thirst. What do we need to be thirsty for? First of all, to be saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're already saved, then we need to be thirsting for a closer fellowship with God. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. If you're not thirsting as a Christian, you're backsliding. Wow. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, if you're not thirsty for God, then you need to get right with God. Proverbs 14:14, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, Jesus thirsted. You've had the living water, eternal life. How thirsty are you today? How close are each one of us to God today? How thirsty are we? You know, there was an old commercial on TV. How do you spell relief? And it's not Rolaids. Maybe Rolaids works for you, but how do you spell real relief? J-E-S-U-S. Real relief is Jesus. Jesus said, I thirst. He came to give us the living water.